Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of Select Start. My name is Gavin, aka Gilded Age. I guess I'm now kind of the Pokemon expert, considering that that's really all I've been talking about here recently. So, yeah, I guess I'm the Pokemon expert. I got some news on some leaks for Legend of Arceus today. So, and I'm here with my two beautiful co-stars, as always, co-hosts, whatever you want to say.
What's going on, y'all? This is it's your boy Russell, aka Troll, aka a feisty taquito. This week I'm gonna come back with a little bit more Smash stuff, but more all around fighting game stuff, because a very huge tournament happened over the weekend. CEO, for any of the people who listen who are big fighting game fans, lots of really fun stuff actually happened at this tournament, and I'm going to go over at least the games that I have the slightest bit of knowledge about. But of course, like Gavin said, here with the here are two of some of the most beautiful people I fucking know.
Hey, it me, your boy Caleb, aka A Caleb, aka the boy, aka the kid, aka the God King.
Stop.
So basically, I've just been talking about League of Legends, mostly some Valorant here and there. But today, since Valorant, since League offseason, not much has been going on. So probably today, talk about Valorant Masters Berlin and how shitty NA did.
All right, well, I guess we can jump straight into the Arceus leaks that we've had. So the Riddler has been dropping leaks on Twitter. That's actually what everyone calls him, is the Riddler. So he drops like riddles and stuff. But so the first thing that is, I guess, the most exciting is the starters have new typings on their final evolution. So Typhlosion is now going to be Fire Ghost. Dusa-i is going to be Grass Fighting. And then Oshawott's Last Evolution, it's going to be Water something. I can't remember. I want to say like Water Dark or something like that, but I can't remember which other typing it's going to get. Sadly, it's going to be a single player like all the other Pokemon games, so that kind of sucks, but I am extremely excited for it. You know, they released a trailer with the sound. It sounds beautiful. It sounds amazing. The graphics look awesome. I'm super excited to like jump into this game. Apparently there's a lot to do in it, and it's going to be kind of one of the biggest games that Pokemon is like ever going to, like, I guess, release so far. Really massive map. It's set in Sinnoh before it becomes Sinnoh, so it's called I can't pronounce the name, like Husalin or something like that. I suck at pronouncing these names, but it looks exciting. There's 17 new forms for Pokemon. Like Growlithe, one of my all-time favorites, is getting a new form. So it looks really cool. He's like red and white instead of his normal like orange and like tan. You can ride on Pokemon, which is awesome. You can fight with your Pokemon in battle. There's like, I think it's kind of like an outpost kind of thing, or like you can go to different, like, they're cities, but they look more like outposts, because it's supposed to be like you're sent there as kind of like a research team. So, and there's a bunch of new forms of Pokemon and stuff. But yeah, I'm super excited for it. It sucks that it's not going to be multiplayer, but I'm sure they'll still have like trading and stuff like that. So if you boys have any insight or questions or anything like that on it.
So it's still like 110% like open world as hell, right?
Yeah, no. So as far as I No, from what we've been shown, there's going to be, the normal main story, except now you don't have to, like, you're not shoehorned into following that story. Like,
Oh,
if, like,
amazing.
once, like, once you do kind of like the, like, tutorial, it seems like you're kind of free to just explore. Also, a weird thing, I don't know how this is going to work, but there's no items in the game anymore. So in Legends of Arceus, there will be no items, and I think no TMs as well. So
So
I don't
items like
know.
potions and stuff like that?
I don't know if like I don't know really. Like I don't know. I imagine they're still gonna have healing potions and stuff like that, but like I think it's just gonna be like held items.
Okay, so like no more like what was like no more
Like
shell
no, yeah, like no shell bell, no quick claw, no metal
bell?
coat,
Right,
etc.
okay.
It's,
No
and I think there's
XP
all,
share or anything like that.
yeah, and I think there's also no berries, but I could be wrong on the berries. There might be berries, but I think there is no items because everyone was wondering, would rare candies count? Because everybody was like, is that going to count as like an item?
I mean, it is technically, right?
Right, so like, but like, that's such like an iconic thing, so it'd be weird for them to kind of get rid of it. So, I think we need a little more information on what it means to say like no items. Like, is that just like, is it meaning like there's just no more TMs, HMs?
Right. There's no more like
And
learn up. There's like no more things you can give your Pokemon to learn or to hold, or maybe they don't heal or anything like that.
right, yeah. So like, I don't know how they're gonna do it. I still think the game's gonna be really good regardless. I'm super excited for it. But yeah, no items is gonna be kind of weird. I think what they'll probably do is just get rid of TMs and HMs, if we're being honest. I could see them doing that, is just kind of getting rid of that because, I mean, they've already kind of done it with Sword and Shield. You didn't have HMs. Still had TMs, but you didn't have HMs. And so like you could just use cut and like it would just a Pokemon would just cut. And like in BDSP, it just calls a wild Pokemon for like Surf, Cut, Rock Smash, Strength, Rock Climb, etc. So I don't know how it's gonna be done, but oh, also one weird thing. Oh, I can't remember her name now. This famous singer got to play Pokemon Legend of Arceus before everyone, her and her daughter. Christina Aguilera, I think,
That's
is the one.
random.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like what?
That's a random
It,
person.
apparently she played it with her daughter on set for some, I don't know what that means. I guess she's shooting a movie or something. I don't know, but I thought it was weird. Like Christina Aguilera is just such like I didn't take her for like being connected to Pokemon, but yeah, apparently she said they love it and like her daughter played it a bunch and wouldn't put it down. So
Gotcha.
I can't wait for it. Comes out January 28th. They're expecting a new trailer. If the Riddler is correct, there'll be a new trailer tomorrow with new, I don't know if it's like supposed to be gameplay, but it'll be a new trailer on the Pokemon website dropped by Pokemon. Because there was a trailer dropped by Nintendo, but it was just the same trailer but with actual audio. So I don't know.
Okay.
I'm hoping for a new trailer. And as I kind of learn more and we get kind of closer to release, whatever information kind of I have, I will definitely bring on here and let y'all know about it.
All right.
Yeah,
I am
any.
excited as hell for this game, honestly. Like I mean maybe I won't buy it, but I think watching people play it will be extremely enjoyable. I think it'd be a great like stream game.
So if you like. I actually think you would like this simply for the fact of battling with your Pokemon. Because
right.
like it has like from the gameplay that we saw of them like rolling to like dodge is kind of like the Dark Souls, like where you Pokemon charges up a big attack and then you have to time your roll to get that, you know, the iframes and be able to dodge it and not get hit by the attack. Yeah. So it looks really cool.
That's interesting.
That's the interesting part to me because, you know, Pokemon battles have kind of been, you throw out a Pokemon, they throw out one, they're static, you just pick a move. So I'm like, now that we can join in the fight, how are you going to be telling your Pokemon what to do? Like, are they just going to have kind of like a preset, like here's the moves they learn and they use it, like the most effective move on it at any given point? Or like, are you able to like move and press like a button to have it do like quick attack or a water gun or something? So right. I think that's going to be really interesting.
Having bindable attacks for like bindable buttons.
Yeah, like I'm wondering if they're going to do that or if it's going to be kind of like just an AI that's like, okay, if it has a super effective move, like if you're against the fire type and you have Oshawott, like is Oshawott just going to use water gun every time? Because like a lot of Pokemon, you know, you have setup moves. So you have like Sword Stance, you know, Moonlight for healing. You have Stealth Rocks, Poison, like you have all these different moves that like you set up, like Toxic, and then you use Venoshock, or you know, like you have all these different moves that you kind of like set up that go together. So I'm just wondering like how that's gonna work out. So I'm excited.
Nice,
Caleb. Before I say anything, man, I am dying to hear about this Valorant crap because. The beef has got me hyped, dude. The beef has got me hyped.
Oh, man. So, basically, it was yesterday? Yeah, yesterday morning, I guess, before Sentinels, who's supposed to be NA's, like, the best team, actually, like, in the world. They were for a while, and, like, NA's best team. They were having a little feud on Twitter with the team they were playing that day in the lower bracket because Sentinels failed to win their group, so they had to go to the like losers bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oh, sorry. So I forget exact. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. But anyway, they were having some like spat on Twitter with someone from Crew, someone from Brazil, and one of the guys from Sentinel. Sentinel said, "Can't wait to beat your shit region."
Yeah.
And so, or he said, "I can't wait to beat your shit region again."
Yeah. Yeah, and, that's what I saw.
Oh
that's
my exactly god! What?
Yeah, and so it like. Bunch of butthurt Twitter people and like people who can't take like a joke or something like that were like, oh, this dude's like demeaning a whole region and
yeah
blah blah, blah and talking all this shit and stuff and Sentinels ended up losing to Crew and getting knocked out of the tournament.
That's so funny.
Losing
the poetic
losing.
Justice, bro. Yeah.
So the Sentinels won. I can't remember if they won the first or second map. But
is that the team with tens on it?
Yeah.
Oh, is he supposed to be like the best
player in the world? Yeah, basically. And so
not anymore.
He popped off map 2 and just like pretty much carried Sentinels after they lost map 1, and then they went to split, which is third map, since they were tied 1-1, and Tens was like non-existent, that map. And they got, it was close. Like Sentinels was leading at one point 8-4. And then Crew came back and tied at 8-8. And then, let's see, I'm trying to remember. And then I think at one point again it was tied like 11-11. And then Crew just, or it was 10-10 or something like that. But, and then Crew just won like four in a row and beat them.
So how does the scoring work in Foul? Like, I've never actually, like,
so, watched. So in Valorant, you play two, it's best of three, basically.
Okay.
And the first two maps, you, each team gets to ban a map, and then they pick what map they want to play. And so the first two maps are the maps that the teams pick that they want to play. And then I think the third map is just like a default map that it goes to if you're tied afterwards.
Kind of like a neutrally decided upon map.
Yeah, it's, I think it's always Split, which is the name of the map, I think. And so, and it's, each map is first team to win 13 rounds.
And what are the rounds consist of?
So it's, what is it? I think the,
isn't it,
it's
like
12 of the rounds you're on attack, and then I think 12, and then it goes to like a halftime, and then the next 12 you're on defense. So it's basically like search and destroy in Call of Duty, where you have to like plant a bomb, and then the other team has to try and kill your team and disarm it.
Yeah, so it's like CSGO, but with, I think, with more rounds, because, so you said it's the first to 13, so
yeah, first team to 13, and you have to win by two. So if you're like, if you're like tied 12-12, and then you win the round and go 13-12, you have to play another round.
Okay, so does that also include, like, wiping the team? Do you just win if you kill everybody?
You have to do it in a certain amount of time. See, if you, like, wipe the team and there's, like, only a couple seconds left and you don't have time to disarm the bomb, then you still lose, I think.
Right, because you still have to, so it's wiping the team while also still completing
But if the team that's on attack that has the bomb, if they wipe the enemy team even before they plant the bomb, they win the round.
Okay, so as long as, okay, so in the sense of if the attacking team plants the bomb, the defensive team has to wipe the team and then disarm the bomb.
Yeah.
But if the attacking team doesn't plant the bomb and just wipes the team, does the attacking team still lose?
No, they win. If they wipe the team, then they don't have to plant the bomb.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, the team, like, they also have, like, kind of like if you remember in Search and Destroy, like, you can sneak and, like, disarm the bomb. So, like, if you're
you don't have to, like, wipe if the you're, team, it's just... if you're, say, you're on attack and you plant the bomb and, like, you move around the map trying to find the enemy team, if one of the defending players goes to try and disarm the bomb, a message will pop up for the attacking team, be like,
right, yeah,
enemy
yeah,
team
like,
is disarming
the bomb. Exactly, yeah, it'll be in
so
alert.
You can't, yeah,
I would see that. I have seen that before, and I think that's actually a really cool feature. Like, I think that adds a much more competitive element as a defensive team.
Yeah,
that like you make the move, the game is just going to be like, ha-ha, you thought you were sneaky.
Yeah. And
so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and also each round you get credits, and with those credits you can upgrade your armor and buy better weapons and stuff. So if you're just like constantly getting wiped and not getting kills on the enemy team, then your economy and credits are going to be bad, and you're going to be stuck on like pistols the whole game, and you won't be able to like, it's going to be hard to win rounds.
Okay, so and there's that's what economy. Happened.
Oh. Yeah, that's what happened to Sentinels in the third map yesterday. They were when they were ahead, and then Crew came back, which is a team from Brazil. They had like a big economy lead, and Sentinels was stuck on pistols for like 3 or 4 rounds and couldn't do anything.
That's fucking wild, dude.
Yep, and then also, like NA's second best team, which I think they won the NA tournament to get to Masters Berlin, which is the tournament going on right now, is Envy. They lost today.
Yeah, I saw also, that.
So now we have one team left in the bracket from NA, and that's Cloud9 Blue.
Cloud9 BB?
Falling.
And Cloud9 has like 5 different Valorant teams. I don't get it. There's like Cloud9 Blue, Cloud9 White, Cloud9, Cloud9999.
Oh, 9999.
I don't know. They just have a ridiculous amount. But they're the only ones left. And so, as always, it's in the quarterfinals now, so.
Cloud9 is the only savior for North America, it seems like. It seems like they always end up being the only.
I was going to say, it always, like, anytime I've watched any competitive team style game, again, not so much like League. I just know Cloud9 is good in League. But, like, anytime it's like America versus. Why is it always C9? Like, why is that the story, bro?
Because they've been around for so long, and they have money, basically, to buy
pretty much
good players.
True.
You know, and it's funny because TSM, C9 are like two of the oldest teams in like esports, like for like League of Legends, for like Riot and stuff. And TSM went on, like, they have like the most wins in the LCS, and they had like the longest streak of wins and stuff. And then like now it's like, okay, well, C9. It's now it's all C9. It's like never TSM anymore.
Yeah, and also I think the team that Sentinels lost to in Valorant Champions Berlin, Crew, which is the team from Brazil. When I was watching the game yesterday, and I think they said that Crew has never won an international match before until yesterday. Yeah, when they beat,
I guess, karma.
When they beat Sentinels.
I guess that's karma for you. I guess don't shit talk on Twitter before the match. Oh yeah. Man, that's like a perfect storm, you know?
Yep.
But I mean, I do think like it was like it's stupid, like people getting butt hurt, because like that's trash talking has been like part of esports for so long.
It's part of any sport.
I agree with that to a point though. It's all fun and games, but like, let's not fucking slander like an entire region. You know what I mean? Like I'm fine if you're just like, damn, bro, y'all are garbage. Your ass, your dog water, uninstall. Like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. But like, I'm not saying that Brazil is the best region. I doubt it. But like by any sort of standard, you don't just go, y'all are shit. As an entire region, y'all shit. Because that's actually the thing that's going on in Worlds for Rocket League right now. And like, I'm not trying to switch. I'm not gonna like switch topics on you guys. It's just that shit talk is going on in Rocket League right now because NA like has the biggest fucking head. Like they think they're just, their shit don't stink. They are the best region in the world.
Yeah.
Nobody else anywhere can handle NA and Rocket League. And it's just kind of like, shut up. Because the Worlds is happening. It starts tomorrow. Yeah. And I swear to fucking God, if there is an NA team that gets clapped by any other region, and I mean anybody else, I'm literally going to pop off for the other region.
I think the shit talking like is fine. I think what really matters is like the intent behind it. Like if he says, "Oh, can't wait to beat your shit region again," and like he's just jokingly about it. I mean, maybe saying shit region is kind of, you know, bad. I guess that's probably not the right thing to say, but like if like the other team is also like shit talking back and forth and like they're doing it in like a fun manner and there's like, okay, you know, no hard feelings at the end, like because League, it happens all the time, like the casters shit talk each other, players shit talk each other,
right?
I mean, hell, G2 is like the king of shit talk when it comes to League of Legends, so I think the intent really, or like the intent behind the joke is really what matters. Because like if you're just doing it to be like a dick, then like you're a fucking dick. But if you're doing it like jokingly and you know like you're like friendly with the other team and you know they're gonna shit talk back and forth and stuff, then like it's okay.
Right. I think the game is just too fresh to have a lore. Like you said, G2 is just they are the shit talkers of League. They are well known about being some good old fashioned hecklers. You know,
yep. Then, and C9 too. Wasn't C9, Caleb, the team that the CEO was talking about, or was it G2 where like he started putting on like clown makeup and shit when he said he was excited for Worlds?
I don't remember.
But yeah.
But I know the 100 Thieves and Envy had like a feud going on for a little bit where Astro, who's the owner of Envy, was talking shit about 100 Thieves, calling them a hoodie org, saying that they can't win anything in video games and stuff. They're just a hoodie org, that they're just good at apparel. And then we won LCS.
I was gonna say, and then did you guys literally win LCS?
Yeah, and we have two Call of Duty trophies. We won the first ever Valorant tournament. And so,
my God, okay. Accolades,
pop it off.
Yeah, so
and that's, but see, I like that. Okay, so that's, but that, the same thing, but the same thing goes for other games. So yeah, like that as long as there's a story, that's fine. Valorant has been out for what, a year?
Yeah,
maybe 2 years,
a little over a year.
And the esports team is still really new.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's no time for a story. There's no time for, like, this guy's the villain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he was a known villain, that's fine. Like, that's just clout at that point. He's literally, like, chasing interactions. But, like,
right.
This was literally, I can't wait to beat your shit region again. Huh?
Yeah.
Like, huh? Who are you, bro? Like, nah, dude. I'm like I said, I'm all fine and dandy with the backstory, but if there's no backstory, no. Please. Like, no.
That and also, like, if you're gonna do that, you gotta win. Like
thank you.
In League, like when TSM was like the dominant team and they would shit talk a team and like the other team would shit talk back, like, but when like TSM would start it, everyone would know, like, okay, like, they're shit talking, but we all know who's going to win. TSM is going to come out, and they're going to win. And then they would come out, and then they would win. They would dominate, because they were just, like, back then, they were just, like, the team. But it was, like, it got to the point where people were, like, okay, this is kind of boring, because TSM just wins everything.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's kind of the stalemate that was reached in Smash Bros., and Melee specifically with Hungrybox, was after Hungrybox finally started winning, like, it just became, he became the villain because his playstyle and all that shit. So everybody would do, but it wasn't so much Hungrybox shit talking people. It was the entire community shitting on Hungrybox. And that was just the thing to do. You just shit on Hungrybox because he's gonna win. So beat him up as much as you can to watch him get emotional.
Yeah.
And like it came so much so that I think it was Evo. It was either Evo or it was another extremely large Smash tournament. Somebody threw a crab at him on stage. A live crab.
Oh, really?
Yes. What? A live crab.
A fucking crab? How did they even get the crab into the room?
Let's not ask Samantha. Let's not look at the semantics. A crab. Somebody threw a crab at him.
That's just like props to that guy for one, being able to find a live crab, and two, being able to sneak a live crab into the venue and get close enough to throw it on the stage. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, anyways. So that was a thing for a while. And now the beef is between Mango and Zane. But like, it's like the I know I'm number one. No, I know I'm number one. Well, I'm gonna make you number two. No, I'm gonna make you number two.
Yeah.
Like imagine two little kids bickering back and forth at each other. No, I'm better. No, I'm better. No, I'm better. Like that's they're good. Like at this point now, as much as everyone probably has a disdain for each other to some extent, the top players of Melee are at a very good point to where they can genuinely be in the same room as each other, kind of deal. I don't know if anybody's like that in other games. I don't know if any other players can like stand being in the same room as each other. But like, when you have so much history as a community, like I would hope that there are people who will shit talk each other publicly, but then go get a drink afterwards, kind of deal.
Okay, I was going to say, like, what do you mean? Because in League, there's definitely, like, that's definitely, like, a thing. Like, with Double Lift, and, who was it? Aphromoo? They would, like, when they were on separate teams and stuff, they would shit talk each other and then, like, be hanging out and be friends. And, like, Double Lift and, like, there's probably countless number of players that like will shit talk each other before a game, and then after the game, like the teams are like hanging out and chilling together.
I got you. Like that's all I want. That's the kind of stuff that I like. Like B is completely toxic publicly just for the infamy or the fame, and then look like bro, go hang out afterwards. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like this is all publicity. Like.
Yeah, like be as toxic as you want, as long as like right after, like you guys can like just chill and hang out and like be friends and like not like worry about it.
And see, that's and like where's Valorant happening like right now? Is it in Berlin?
Yeah, it's in Berlin.
Okay, so like it's a LAN event. Everybody flew to Berlin.
Yeah.
Okay, so that leads me to the question: Furia or Furea or however you say it. Are they Brazilian? Or are they just Latin American of some kind?
Hold on. It's like that. Yeah, they're a Brazilian esports organization.
Okay, that's why Furea popped off really hard in the tweet. Okay, I was wondering why. Because that kind of... I could try to find it.
I tried to find it earlier, but I couldn't find it. I don't even remember.
Did it get deleted?
I don't know. I don't even remember who posted the tweet to begin with.
Let me see. Oh, I found it right here. It was Zoms.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah, here you go. Gavin, look in the moderator chat. Maybe
okay, right there. There it is. Yeah, I want to like
5,600 replies, 9,000 retweets, 23,000 likes. Good God Almighty!
Should have. Jesus.
Who does Zoms even play?
Who does he play?
Yeah, it's Valorant for Sentinels.
Yeah, he plays. He's on the Valorant team for Sentinels.
Who is like? He's got this character looking all juiced up with a chain.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. I wonder if him play if like he like if there's a
character. See,
like,
I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't know what most of these replies are because they're all in
Portuguese.
Brazilian. Yeah, they're all in Portuguese.
Yeah, they're all in like
it all started
not a language I speak at all.
Shazam, who's another player on Sentinels, was
said should have called a tech pause.
Yeah, which is kind of
the first tweet that sparked it all.
Okay, hey, but what's a tech pause in
It's like
so
a technical
like if,
pause
like,
if
yeah,
you're having like an issue or something, you can pause it in the game.
Like, okay, so does that mean that there's an ultimate like overseer of the game and they can just go, yeah, hey, unpause?
Yeah, so yeah, like it's like I'm sure it's like in like Rocket League, I'm sure they have it. Like if your controller's like messing up or keyboard or something like technical is going wrong, you can ask for like a pause. Like they do it in League. Like if someone's like mouse or something isn't working right, they can ask for a pause and then it'll pause the game and then they'll fix it and then that'll resume.
They do not have that in Rocket League, actually. So what happens in Rocket League with a quote unquote tech pause is they, depending on what the status of the game, they try to reset as close to the game as possible. Like, let's say it's 0-0, right? And somebody drops in and they're having insane lag issues or they're having really bad latency or something. They just wipe the slate clean, restart.
Oh God.
If there's points on the board, that's when it gets real tricky. And they have to like get it down to like a finite, like, this is what was going on, this is where we're going to restart the game, this is the minute it was at, blah 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 blah. Like imagine like, I guess more so in football than in soccer, but like when they go to review a play and a play happens at a very specific yard and they have to go back and reset the clock and do that and go to that specific moment in time. Like, that's what they try to do in Rocket League.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to do a quote-unquote tech pause in that kind of game.
Yeah, that sucks. That really sucks.
It's a sport. Like, it's like a sport-style game. It's not a, like, 5v5 complete overseer, like, has control of X amount of variables kind of thing.
Yeah,
Psyonix doesn't have that deep of control over the game kind of deal.
Dang.
So yeah, it's but like there's the servers and stuff. I have a lot more like support and like rollback and stuff in Rocket League than they do in other games because the other games are meant to have some type of moderated control. Rocket League is more so go out there and do it and get it over with kind of deal.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, though. So the tech pause is obviously like technical issues. Please pause the game. I'm begging you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
please, like, Sky Daddy, might watching the game, help me out.
yeah. It's like my forward key isn't working. I can't move forward. Like pause the game.
Yeah, gotcha.
I don't know how they do it in Valorant. I know in the League, they can literally type in chat / pause and it'll pause the game and then like the refs will come over and ask.
Okay, that's actually pretty interesting. I like that.
So like if like they're experiencing something, they can pause, but like say like your keyboard just goes out, they can ask a teammate and they can type in / pause and then refs and stuff will come over.
Yeah, obviously they'll explain like, hey, my keyboard literally just shit. You know,
yeah, like, hey, my keyboard's not working right now, and then they'll run to like wherever the back room or whatever and get them a new keyboard, bring it out, set it up, and then the game will continue.
And then
they also have like to where if like a glitch or something happens in the game, they have, what is it, Caleb, the time back machine or some shit like that,
chrono break,
where they can
where they can rewind the game to a certain point.
Yeah, he can explain. Yeah, so like if they like some weird glitch happens and like your character like bugs out or something, they can reset the game like back 5 minutes, and then they'll just continue the game from 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I got you. Okay. That's so dope. That's so intricate. I wish Rocket League had a little deeper control than that. That's so cool.
Yeah, but so some big stuff happened with Smash this
past weekend, right? I mean, not to definitely shut off the Valorant talk. I know there's probably, like, man, I know we don't know very much. I wish we had your little brother here for that.
Yeah,
I wish
right.
I wish Gabe
was talking
about it. Yeah, I texted him yesterday when Sentinels lost. I was like, RIP Sentinels, go Envy, I guess. He was like, Envy will carry NA, and then they lost today.
I guess it's up to C9 now. Yeah. Right. Like always.
Gabe is over there just like,
yeah.
But no, so this weekend was CEO, and CEO the biggest retro quote unquote fighting game tournament in the United States. It was Evo, but I think Evo is coming.
So what is CEO? Is CEO what is that? Like, what
Chief
does that stand
Executive
for?
Executive Officer.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yes, it does technically stand for Chief Executive Officer. But I don't think it actually stands for anything. I think it is just CEO. I think that's just what it is. But it was who it was founded by, which is really cool. It was founded by a pro wrestler.
Oh, okay. That's
hang on one
that's
second.
Dope.
Let me it was influenced by so it's called Community Effort Orlando is what it's called. That's what CEO actually stands for. But it was organized by Alex Jabaley, who is sponsored by Panda Global. But there's somebody who there's a pro wrestler that put their name on it, and it's because he was a huge Street Fighter fan. Damn it, what's his name? He's one of those AEW wrestlers. Kenny Omega.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him either.
He put his name on, or like he put his face on it, and it blew up worldwide because he loves fighting games. So, but like mainly Street Fighter. But so the big thing that happened this weekend was, for any of you Moist Critical fans, Critical definitely sponsored a list of top players in Ultimate, and his shining star player Cola, a Roy slash Cloud main, went in a top 8 on winner's side. Had to fight Mutase, who is a Peach player, and they now live in Texas. Mutase put the mollywop on Cola at a very strong... this is a really awkward thing because it only went best of 5 into top 8, which is really strange for Smash Bros. Tournaments. But at the first best of 5 set that Cola had to play all tournament long, he got 3-0 clapped by Mutase and immediately dropped into losers, to which he made the most insane run and reset grand finals against the best Wario player in the world, who is a French player named... His tag is Gluttony, but it's pronounced Glutony. And he had to reset grand finals against Glutony and beat him in the first match 3-2, and then won the reset 3-1. So he had to play the current best Peach player in the world, one of the best Rob players in the world, the best Captain Falcon player in the world, the best Peach player in the world, again, to the best Wario player in the world, and beat them all.
I think I heard about this. Wasn't it like he had to win like an insane number of like matches? Like couldn't he like not lose like a single like set? Like he just had to like win.
To win out the tournament, he had to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 sets.
Five sets?
Yeah, that is a total of, if I count the set records here, 4, 7, 12, 17, 21 games. He played 21 games to win CEO on loser's side of grand finals.
And when they do the loser's bracket, are there like breaks in between, or was like he just...
No,
all right, top this eight, match is over.
When top eight is streamed, so what they do is they stream every match of top eight. And so the winner's side gets streamed first. And that was MVD, the best snake player in the world, versus Gluttony, and then Cola and New Days. Those get streamed first, and then you drop into the loser side of top eight, which was Zomba, a Rob player, versus Myron, who is an Olimar, and then Fatality, who is Captain Falcon, versus Esam, who is Pikachu. So all four of those sets get streamed. Then they drop into losers, and they stream losers up until it gets to losers finals. And then they stream winners finals, then they stream losers finals, and then they stream grands. And that's kind of how it goes. So there is a small break in like certain sets, but it's from 10 minutes to possibly 25.
So he basically just had to play straight for a long time and
he had
like a tiny break.
He had a pot, like I said, this set was 3-1 MVD versus Fatality, and the game that he won the set was a 3-stock, so that was probably a 12-minute set. He had 12 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah. Before he just hammered through grand finals. An amazing top eight, by the way. The top eight has... This is a fun little fact. The top eight has no reoccurring characters. So there is 9, because Cola is the only one co-maining a character. There are 9 original characters in top eight. So that's really fucking cool. There's no double Robs, there's no double this, there's no double that. It is 9 individual unique characters. That hasn't happened since Evo 2019.
Damn. That's crazy. I think I heard about this because I think Charlie Moist Critical talked about this.
He probably popped the fuck off for Cola. He does.
Oh, yeah.
He does.
Oh yeah, no. He always streams the games. I actually wanted to talk a little bit about him, if that's fine with you guys.
Go for it.
So I think what he's doing with esports, because he said he wants to grow Moist Esports and kind of get bigger and get into other games as well. Probably not like League of Legends or Valorant or anything that like you have to buy in real big. But so, like, Cola, he pays for their travel. They keep 100% of the winnings that they get at any tournament. Any tournament that they want to go to, if Charlie can get them into it, they will. Like, there was some Smash, I don't know if it was Smash or Guilty Gear or what, but there was some tournament where I guess you had to, like, buy in and, like, he had a sponsor actually give him enough money to get, I don't know if it was Cola or Light or who it was, I can't remember, but like they came in and gave him like enough money to like buy the votes to get someone into this tournament. And like, I think what he's doing with esports in general, like letting the players keep all the profits, letting, you know, trying to get them there as, you know, if he can and he has the money to get them there and stuff. And I think that's like huge, because like no other esport company like is like, okay, we'll pay for you to get there and you keep all the winnings, like 100% of them, which I think is huge. And I think, I don't know if necessarily he'll be able to grow Moist Esports big enough to cause like a drastic change. Like, I don't think TSM or C9 or Team Liquid or anything like that is ever going to randomly change and let the players keep 100% of their winnings. But I think it's really cool to see him, like, he doesn't care about sending them there and getting the money. He just wants them to go have fun and watch them compete. And I think that's awesome. And like, he has like the headbands and everything for him. So it's really cool to be able to see it. And I'm really glad he's doing it. And I hope like he's able to get into like other games and stuff, because I know he has Guilty Gear players, Smash players.
Yeah, he's got Hitoshi. Yes, sir. Yeah. Hitoshi, yeah, boy.
Yeah, dude, I love Cola. I love Hitoshi. Who's the one that rolls up his sleeves when he gets serious?
Oh, you're talking about Light. Yes, yeah, Light. I love Light, dude.
I love watching him, and then he rolls up the sleeves. I'm like, oh, okay, he's serious now.
Yeah, it's over. It's fucking over. See, okay, yeah. Hang on. Big thing. All right, back to the CEO topic. Big thing about you mentioning Hitoshi. This is the first time Hitoshi didn't make top 8.
No, really?
Yeah, Hitoshi got stopped by Idiosyncrasy to make top 8 for the Guilty Gear Strive tournament at CEO, which something really cool happened. A lot of people in the fighting game community talk a lot of shit about other game play, like other players for other games. Namely, like in this case, that Mortal Kombat players can't play anything other than Mortal Kombat. Now, here's the funny part about that. So, there's a Mortal Kombat player named K7 Showoff. Okay?
Okay.
I don't know who he plays in Mortal Kombat. My buddy Ian would know more than I would, for sure. But looking at the bracket here, K7 Showoff lost at 25th out of, I don't know how many people, but a bunch of people. Let's see. 259 entrants. So he got 25th out of 259.
Okay.
He ended up losing out, only to go over to Guilty Gear Strive and win the tournament.
Dang.
From losers, mind you. He beat Remy Celeste. Remy Celeste is a Axel Lowe player. Very, very good Axel Lowe player. K7 Showoff played Leo Whitefang, doing Leo things because Leo's busted. He actually had to go against Kizzy K, and Kizzy K is currently the best Kai player in the world, I believe. Kai Kisuke, for those who don't know who I'm talking about. I don't know if most people know this game anyway, so I'm just going to not go deep into it. K7 Showoff is just, he's a Mortal Kombat player. He's a really good Mortal Kombat player. Won Guilty Gear Strive. Another notable player who's in the top 8 of Guilty Gear Strive was Punk. Punk is a Street Fighter 5 player. He's a very, very strong Street Fighter player. Who was also, by the way, got second place in Street Fighter 5. Punk got top 8, and let me see here, actually, I'm looking at it right here. Excuse me. Punk placed 4th in Guilty Gear Strive out of 748 players, placed top 4 in Guilty Gear Strive, then out of 453 players in Street Fighter, placed 2nd. So whoever the hell this weekend decided to say that fighting game players can't play other games, that's a fucking lie. Because two different players from two different games not only top-aided and won the game that they're not actually known for, but also like did well in their own respective game.
Yeah.
So yeah, shut your fucking mouth, whoever did that. Tekken I'm upset about, because Tekken is one of my most loved fighting games to watch as of recently. And the fucking man, the myth, the legend, the young prince himself, Arsalan Ash, ended up winning Tekken against Anakin. That's fine. Small little backstory here. Nothing crazy. Arsalan Ash is a Pakistani Tekken player. He won Evo 2019 as like an unknown kind of player. And the story was absolutely riveting. In Pakistan, they don't get a big chance to travel a lot. So like all of the top players sit together and practice with literally everybody. They have like massive fucking grind sessions where everybody plays pretty much every matchup in the game, and everybody learns the game together. Well,
that's pretty cool, actually.
Right. What's not very cool is Pakistan doesn't let the winners keep their money.
Hold on. When you say that, like the government doesn't?
Essentially.
What the
right.
fuck?
So Arsalan Ash is the best Pakistani player. I wouldn't say by a large margin, but pretty notable. He has not seen a single penny of his winnings.
Damn.
That's some bullshit.
He's sponsored by Red Bull and Fate. I don't know who Fate is, but Red Bull. Like, that's the big one.
Does he at least get that money?
Yeah. They can't take sponsorship money.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if the rules have changed for Pakistan, because maybe Arsalan might have talked about it coming to America for CEO. I shouldn't even know he was here. So that made me sad. Right. I didn't even watch Tekken this weekend because I had no idea he was even here. But he actually picked up a new character when she dropped. He is now playing Zafina, which is because of the way the game's been patched, everyone bitches about her. It's one of those characters, you know what I mean? Anakin, though, if anybody has ever even seen Tekken or heard of Tekken, Anakin plays a pretty iconic character. He plays Jack Five, the big hulking mohawk robot. I don't know if you guys have seen that character before. Okay.
No.
He's iconic. He's iconic to the Tekken world. But Anakin.
Yeah, I haven't watched much Tekken.
I got you. Anakin
is that the one with Panda, with like that panda?
Yes, with literally Panda. Yes.
And then don't they have that one that like they say is like the super easiest character, and he does like a lot of kicks or something?
Eddie Gordo.
Yeah,
he does capoeira. Yeah.
That was my favorite character when I played Tekken.
Yeah, and of course, all you had to do was button mash, dude.
Yeah, apparently, like that's then, what I remember
the robot samurai dude,
Yoshimitsu.
Yeah, that was my dude too.
Yeah, I liked playing Panda, and I think isn't there a dude with like wings or some shit, like some demon looking guy?
Devil Jin.
Yeah. I like playing them. I like Panda. I also remember
I played a lot of King too.
Hey, my favorite Tekken player, Lil Majin, is a King main, and I fucking love that guy. That is my dude. I love Lil Majin. That's my fucking boy. That's the people's champ.
I watched like this Tekken when I was going through like my esports like learning history and stuff. There was a Tekken player who played Panda, yes. only played Panda, uh-huh. and like won like a massive tournament with it, with him, and like everyone was saying, like, it's going to be impossible. Panda's such a terrible character and everything. And then he went ahead and just was like, okay, I'm only going to play Panda, and I'm only going to learn Panda. And then he like won like a massive tournament with it.
Yeah, as a Japanese player. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought that was cool. Like, fighting, they have some, like, fighting games have some really deep lore and like really, like, you know, players who just are like, you know what, since this is the worst character, I'm just gonna be really good with him and then beat everybody.
Yeah,
like, it seems like that's a trend in the fighting community. Like, they just are like, how many handicaps can I put on myself and then win still?
Yes, literally, like, that's a thing. Literally, let me go in there with this supposed low tier main and then shit on everybody.
Right.
That's what so there's a, like, you talk about the fighting game lore and stuff. That's like if somebody ever asks you, have you ever heard of Evo Moment 37? It's otherwise known as the Daigo Parry. If you've ever heard that term, it's just it's one of those mystic lore things where this player Daigo did a series of perfect parries against I believe it was Justin Wong. It was Justin Wong playing Chun-Li, and Daigo was playing Ken Masters in Street Fighter, and he parried the entire combo. And then
I think, are you talking about like that? Are you talking about that moment where like he has like no HP and the other person has no HP?
And then
he ends up winning, and like everyone goes nuts. And like the only video that you have of it is like
from a cell phone. Yeah,
with like a cell phone, and like it's still on like one of those old TVs, and oh man, I know exactly what
Evo Moment 37.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. That was pretty hype. That's insane. But not to change topics, but I actually have an interesting question for you boys.
Shut the fuck up.
Listen here, fuckhead. But I have an interesting question for you boys.
Okay, I have an interesting answer.
Ooh, got
it. I hope you do. I already know your answer, though. So.
Oh, okay.
if you could be famous for an esports, whether you play it or not, what esport would you pick? Like, whether you're good at it or not, like, even if it's like an esport you don't play and you just think it's like really fucking cool and like the pros are insane skill and stuff, what esport would you do?
Caleb, you go first.
Me?
He said, loser.
Mr. I have an interesting answer. Let's hear it.
Probably League of Legends or Overwatch when it was in its prime.
Are we talking Overwatch when the meta was 3-2-1 with three tanks?
Oh jeez. Yeah. Tank meta.
Are we talking about goats? No. Before it was called goats. Before it was goats. Like right before they slapped the title on it. Like right before they fucking
back in like season like 1, 2, and 3.
Like 1 when it first started. Yeah, like.
Well, that was 2-2-2. Was 2-2-2.
Hitstands was still a thing.
Yeah. Back before they put roll queue in, where you had to have like.
Right.
Yeah, if I did Overwatch, I would want to be in the 2-2-2 meta. Ghost is fucking terrible.
Overwatch is like the game that got me into esports.
At the beginning of Overwatch, bro, that game was honestly beautiful. And it really was.
Overwatch is the game I got the highest rank in, so.
Nice.
Yeah, me and Caleb used to grind out that game.
Who was your main, though? Hang on. Who was the main?
Was a Lucio and Anna main.
And I was
Caleb is
Reinhardt.
So Caleb is so cultured. Anna,
whatever.
Yeah, Caleb would play the support, and then I would either go
Gavin,
Reinhardt.
You played a lot of Reinhardt.
Reinhardt, I had the most hours on, and then the second most hours was Widowmaker.
Who the fuck are you?
That's two like completely different champions.
Yeah.
Okay,
no.
Okay. So when I played Overwatch, I was off tank. I played
like Zyra and Diva. Stuff like that.
I played Zarya and Roadhog exclusively.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I played those two, and then if I ever had to pick up support, I was Zinni, baby. Zinni.
I actually picked up this is actually pretty fucking funny. When GOATS came out, I exclusively started playing Zarya. And I played her so much I was able to pick up like kind of doing a Russian accent just by playing her, because I would literally play her nonstop, and like I kept like I would repeat her stuff, and like now I can do like a Russian accent, and that's the whole reason I can do it is because I would play her.
She
was fucking broken with her shield, and then shield and ally, and the next thing you know, you kill all the fucking team.
Bubble, yeah. Her bubble was perfect for offense pushing. I had to choose my specific game to be really, really good at, I've thought about this. I genuinely would have liked to probably put more time into Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thoroughly enjoy that game more than fighting game wise. Like watching it and learning it and understanding the intricacies that go into the controls and stuff. I think that game requires a very high level of skill as a player.
Oh yeah, 100%. I agree with you there.
And I would love to have been able to be good at the game, but unfortunately, my hands don't work like that, and my brain does. I can understand the controls, but my hands are old. I'm an old man, so no. But it's between that and Rocket League, honestly.
Yeah. Mine would probably be, I have a few choices. So I would League, if I'm going straight for just money, it's League 100%. I'll do League, ADC main, and I would exclusively play Vayne, like just for the potential, like clips that you can get with Vayne. If I did it purely out of wanting to look super badass, probably Mortal Kombat.
Oh my god, there's no money in combat though.
Yeah, there's none, but like if I was like wanted to like really show, like I don't know how people do it, but there's some insane combos that you pull off in that game that I think makes you look real badass. But
if you think that, don't go watch CEO Top 8, because the two Chilean kids made a fucking mockery of Top 8. They grand finals is they're like I don't know if they're brothers or if they're just like two Chilean they're two Chilean players, but yeah, they straight like trolled grand finals.
Now this is a very important question. Was Sonic Fox there?
Nope. It didn't matter. Sonic Fox hates Mortal Kombat 11. Openly.
I figured, I mean, the game just kind of went downhill, honestly. Once they started adding in variations of the
disagree.
Like
disagree.
The characters,
you're wrong.
I didn't like it.
You're so wrong.
Mortal Kombat 9 is the best Mortal Kombat that's ever been released, and I will stand by that.
Okay, that opinion is 100% factual. That is, you are correct.
I fucking love that.
You are correct. However, variations were around for Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance, so variations are not a new thing. They are actually a very old thing. And them being added, I understand you don't like them. but this game specifically, Mortal Kombat 11, has all of the right tech that I wish Mortal Kombat 9 and also 10 would have had, but they didn't. So
yeah.
That's my problem, is I said it from the beginning of this game, and I'll continue to say it. It is all the right technicalities and mechanics that I wanted in Mortal Kombat in the wrong fucking game.
Yeah.
It is the wrong game.
See, Mortal Kombat 9 was the last Mortal Kombat that I was actually good at.
It was so perfect.
Like, Like, I was really good. Like, I knew the combos. I could pull them off. Like, Sonya was one of Sonya and Ermac were my mains. Like, those are the only two characters I played.
Pussy, you played Ermac. Shut up. You have no conversation anymore.
What?
You basically played you basically played the Eddie Gordo of Mortal Kombat.
Okay, come on. Okay, nah.
Play a rogue character like Smoke, please. Somebody who actually requires Smoke? Skill.
Okay, all right. Yeah, and then next thing you know, you're going to say Noob requires skill.
Noob does not require skill. Smoke required skill. Noob did not require skill. I played Quan Chi, I suffer.
Quan Chi was cool.
You just stomp on people over and over again.
Literally just trance him, bro. Just trance him. You fuck up. You leave yourself open. I trance you. You get trance. I'm sorry.
I liked Sonya. I think Sonya had my favorite combos in the game. She was a lot of fun to play.
The special forces in Mortal Kombat 9 were the top characters. So Jax, Sonya, Johnny. They were the top characters.
I know Sonic Fox played
in 9.
What's the dude with the gun? Yeah.
No, he didn't. He wasn't really popular in 9. He was more popular in 10. You're thinking of Aaron Black.
Oh, yeah, 10. Yeah, Aaron Black. Yeah, I wasn't thinking of 9. Yeah. And then if I had to pick an esports to play out of pure enjoyment and fun, it would be Pokemon, 100%. And I really want to like start doing, because they have tournaments like crazy and like anyone can join. And I actually been thinking like maybe like I start learning like,
you know,
how, like the meta of Pokemon and shit.
When I was younger, when we lived in Illinois, our next door neighbor had like a card trading card like store in his house basically, and I went with him to a Pokemon tournament in some city in Illinois. I don't remember where. It was at a mall. It was like a card tournament. He gave me a deck to play with. It was an all grass type deck, and I won the whole tournament.
That's dope.
Yeah, I got like a bunch of like rare holographic cards and stuff, and I got like a plaque. It was pretty cool.
That's so sick. What the fuck? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
The only tournament I've ever been in was Modern Warfare 2 tournament, and I lost. So
wait, hang on, Caleb.
Oh, and I was in a Mortal Kombat 10 tournament too.
Well, what esport would you want to play for fun? If you could be really good at it, what would be one that you would pick for fun?
League of Legends.
Other than that, probably like World of Warcraft or like Halo.
Okay. Dude, like doing a Halo thing would be so much fun. The only experience I've ever had with professional Halo and like in person team tournament was when MLG was still a thing. Their 2011 series, the whole season, it opened in Dallas. So I went to the MLG opener in Dallas in 2011.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that was that, watching Halo Reach on that big of a stage, that shit was dope.
I still really want to go to like an esports thing.
In 2020, when I got out the army and I got my big separation paycheck, I flew to Los Angeles before COVID hit, and I went to the Riot Games like stadium where they play all the League of Legends games and watched a 100 Thieves game there.
That's so dope.
And then 100 Thieves, they did like their first ever, and pretty sure it's the only one they've done. They did an in-person like merch drop, like apparel drop. And I went to the Cash App compound, and I got to go inside and meet Nadeshot and stuff. And
I love Nadeshot.
Bought some apparel and stuff.
I'll always be a Nadeshot stan.
You're talking about fucking LAN events, dude. If DreamHack comes to Dallas and we can all go to IRL events, bro,
yes.
Go to DreamHack. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's more than just a tournament, though. It's like a whole convention.
So. Yeah.
But Caleb, remember when you bought tickets for me and you to go to a league game and then it,
yeah, it was canceled? So
was the, it LCS?
Yeah, LCS finals were gonna be in Frisco.
And so many people I know had tickets to that.
Yeah,
the
and I bought
the moment they dropped.
Yeah, I
two
bought
Smash players, two of them.
Yeah, I bought me and Gavin tickets to go, and then like 2 weeks later they canceled it because of COVID.
Dude, yep. Zach,
I was so excited too.
Zach, who was here with us last week, the day they dropped, he bought him and his brother tickets.
Yeah, me too.
Oh yep. God, I was so fucking sad, dude.
That was too.
But I still want to go to an LCS like and watch them. But isn't World supposed to be
next year? North America next year? Yes, but yeah. None of the places it's going to be is in Texas.
Yeah, hey,
it's like New York. It's like New York, San Francisco, and I forget where else.
Gavin, all I'm going to say too is, I mean, realistically, to the both of you, good luck affording those tickets.
They're not too bad.
Yeah,
they're going to be expensive.
Well, yeah, like out of state, yeah, but I mean, like in state, they weren't. I think how much were they, Caleb? They weren't too expensive when we were gonna go.
Oh, for the finals tickets, they were like $50.
Yeah,
right. My buddy Timothy, he bought like extra special tickets. He spent a couple $100 for him and his wife. Well, now wife. At the time, it was his girlfriend.
Dang.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, dude. My buddy Timothy loves League. Fucking
yeah.
Loves it.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Yeah. We're starting to get pretty.
Hit our time.
We're way past our time.
Yeah, I know. We just kept talking. Dude. This is a great episode.
I guess. I guess we can wrap. So that'll do it for us here at So Like Start. Thank you guys so much for watching.
For watching, yes. Watching. Thank you for watching our audio.
Thank you for watching with your eye holes. The sounds coming through your earphones.
Look, I've been at work all day. Okay. Thanks for listening. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, remember leave us a review, a 5-star review. It helps us tremendously. So you know that's like the best support you can do to help us right now. I'll have all of our socials in the description and everything. And thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, we'll Bye. Catch you guys next time, or we'll
From
see
the
you.
Three beautiful people that I do this with.
See
every
you
week.
Later, or see you another time.
Laters on the Mingies.